You want to address Alan?
So he's saying that it's unfair that Georgia has to play Alabama now.
And then potentially play
them
again.
And then potentially play them again. Yeah,
playoff, because
play
you're playing them on a neutral field right now, and then right. you're not playing them
That's a great point. We have yet to have that kind of thing happen in the playoff era, where two teams that met in a conference championship meet again. Because you had the whole Georgia-Auburn situation, and that's the only time that two teams from one. So, yeah, I think it would be a unique situation that could possibly happen. And then you just think, you know, poor Georgia at that point, because you got to beat Alabama twice. You already had to play LSU this year. You played Auburn. I mean, you played... It's a relatively... Georgia didn't play LSU this year, did they? I might have been off on that.
No, they went to
LSU. Yeah, they did. That was their one loss. Yes, of course. And then they play Auburn every year. So, again, I mean, I think there's only so much you can fix with this, because these conferences are so set in stone. And there's one thing we should say. You know, Georgia... They don't benefit from having to play Alabama twice, but they do benefit from being in the SEC and the weight that carries, right? Of the one-loss teams right now, they're highest because they've played, quote-unquote, the hardest schedule, they play in the toughest league, whatever. So there are some benefits, but I have to think that if we were a Georgia station and you and I were Georgia grads, this would be frustrating. Because this is somewhat out of your control. You happen to be in this league. You have to play Alabama once. And then if you do beat them, you got to beat them again, most likely, to win a national championship. Well, and no other team has to do that.
It goes back to the big picture question. And what does this mean? Well, what are we doing this weekend? Like, what does this matter? If the point of this weekend is Georgia beats Alabama and your reward is congratulations, we need to relitigate this again next week?
Got
to
play them again.
That's crazy, because this was not a previously scheduled game. Now, if Alabama and Auburn were like 1-2, and they played a nip-and-tuck game, and then we got to the playoff, and we decided Alabama and Auburn were top four teams, and then you play on a neutral field, then perhaps you have a different – I have a different take on it, because, you know, let's say Auburn beats Alabama at Auburn, right? And they're number two. Well, now they move up to number one. Bama drops to number four. Now they have to play again, but it's on a neutral field. So you can say, okay, the home field advantage mattered for Auburn. Now we're going to take that away. We're going to play them on a neutral field. This weekend is basically that.
Yeah,
this
it's a neutral field.
This weekend is a playoff game between these two teams, and yet there is a chance that we have to relitigate this again next week. Now, let me do this while we're talking about it. 654 Roar is the number. You want to get in on the Northern Communication phone line today. 961-566 to help. Their text lines open as well if you want to text the program at Qualic Talk, at Kelly Gramlich, at 105.5 The Roar. I want to turn our attentions to the cocktail of stupid. That's the 538 projections for the college football playoff. Their cocktail of stupid has right now Clemson with the highest chance to make the playoff at 95%. Notre Dame next at 79%. Alabama 72%. Ohio State 58%. I tweeted out this morning that it's possible that in college football in 2018, you could have a wild card team ahead of division winners if you want to use the NFL parlance, if you want to use the NFL vernacular. That's what putting Georgia in over Ohio State and Oklahoma, who are quite capable 12-1 teams, would be. Now, and I want to use this system to kind of see what might happen throughout the day, because it's weird to think, okay, well, what if Alabama loses? Well, if Alabama loses, there would be games before. Let's say, well, what happens if Clemson loses? Well, that's at the end of the night. So we'll have more data points by the time Clemson plays, so it's weird to do that without saying, okay, at noon, this is what could happen, and here's how it might impact the standings in real time. I kind of want to do that later on this week, maybe on Friday. But let's suppose that Georgia beats Alabama, okay? Georgia beats Alabama, and we know nothing about any of the other games. According to 538, Alabama's chances to make the playoff go from 72% to 24%. They become the sixth most likely team to make it to the playoff because Ohio State has a better than 50-50 shot to beat Northwestern. Oklahoma has a better than 50-50 shot to beat Texas. Georgia is a one-loss conference champion in the toughest league in the country. And Clemson is a near certainty to beat Pittsburgh. Notre Dame's already in. So that's three spots taken care of. So you now have one spot left for Alabama, Ohio State, and Oklahoma. Now, let's say Ohio State beats Northwestern, right? If Ohio State beats Northwestern, that gives Alabama a 20% chance to win, because to make the playoff. which is 1-5. That's pretty good. I mean, for 538, I followed 538 during the election. That was roughly the chance that Republicans would retain the Senate and that the Democrats would take the House. Both of those things happened. It was an 80% chance that both of those things would happen. They both happened. So 20% is not nothing, but it is close to nothing. It's kind of right on that threshold. Now let's say that Oklahoma beats Texas. Alabama only has a 16% chance to make the playoff. So maybe we're saying all this about, you know, well, if Alabama loses, they're still in. According to 538, that might not be exactly the case. Now, again, this is a model. This is not people. But this model should factor in human reasoning a little bit. That's kind of the point of it. They're saying it's far more likely that either Ohio State or Oklahoma gets in on the fourth spot if Georgia beats Alabama and Alabama comes out, because they would be a one-loss team without a conference championship. Ohio State and Oklahoma would be one-loss teams with a conference championship.
So you're saying it's really not that likely.
I'm saying according to 538, it's not as likely as it would seem based on the amount of time people in the national conversation have spent discussing it.
Well, first of all, I don't even think it's very likely that Georgia beats Alabama regardless.
Right.
In the first place.
538 gives Alabama a 63% chance, and I kind of think
that's really low.
I think that is
amazingly low.
Yeah.
Of course, for this to happen, really, like in a more realistic sense, you'd have to have Ohio State and Oklahoma both lose, right?
If Ohio State and Oklahoma both lose and Georgia loses, okay?
I was saying Georgia wins.
If Georgia wins. Alabama would then have a 75% chance.
I think they'd probably put Alabama in, but Quack, you know, we've been told conference championships matter, and apparently that's just not even really the case with Notre Dame. But let's say Ohio State really impresses and wins their league. Oklahoma really impresses, wins their league. And Georgia wins. Then, you know, I almost, and the committee would never do this because, and part of it is Notre Dame is named Notre Dame, right? And they don't want to, they want Notre Dame in there. But if Alabama, Alabama wins, take Georgia out. Alabama wins impressively. Oklahoma wins impressively. Ohio State wins impressively. Clemson wins impressively. Put those four in. Get Notre Dame out of there.
Right.
They would never do it.
They would never do it.
But, like, and just from watching Notre Dame, and seeing them look good at times and look really unimpressive at other times. And the way they've talked about that Notre Dame win over Southern Cal, you know, Notre Dame, a good, tough win at Southern Cal. They beat them by 7 points. Really? Really?
Yeah. Look, I'm with you, okay? I'm with you. I don't know why.
If you gave me neutral field, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Georgia, I don't think I'd take Notre Dame in any of those games.
I probably would agree with that. I'd have to think about it a little bit, but I probably would agree with that. Here's the overarching point, okay? Just big picture college football. There's a lot of inequity that you're going to have to live with because there's 130 teams and you get 12 games. There's just going to be inequity. Not all schedules are going to be created equal. Conferences are too big for the number of games. You can't possibly play enough conference games realistically to be able to factor in everybody plays everybody except the Big 12, and that doesn't even help the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
What I think you could do, there are two reforms that you can make to conferences to make this okay. First of all, you get rid of divisions. You scrap those entirely. They don't matter. In fact, I think they create a systemic problem because the divisions that have been bad are always bad. When has the ACC Coastal been super strong? When has the Big Ten West been super strong? When has the Pac-12 South been super strong?
Because they don't have the powers.
The reality is that there is one, even the SEC East, they're getting a little better, but we're talking the entirety of the playoff era. The SEC East, the Pac-12 South, the ACC Coastal, and the Big Ten West have never been great. They have never been the better division in their two leagues. That is 5 years of time. That's a pretty significant time frame where, because of geography, if you want to win the Pac-12 South, you've got a significantly easier battle than if you want to win the Pac-12 North. Same with the Atlantic, same with the SEC West, and the same with the Big Ten East. Well, I'm saying
it's
harder to win. It's a significantly more difficult battle. If you just got rid of that, if you get rid of the requirement that Clemson plays Wake Forest, Syracuse, terrible Louisville this year, if you get rid of that requirement and instead make it possible that Clemson might have to play Pittsburgh in the regular season this year, and Duke, and Miami, and Florida State, and Wake, and Syracuse, but not Boston College, and maybe Virginia. Just throw it up there where every year you have a chance to play a tough or easy schedule. There is no, and I know Doug's going to get mad about this, there is no Wisconsin gets to win the Big Ten West. There is none of that, even though they didn't this year. There is no Utah got to play in the Pac-12 South. There is no, well, Georgia is the only team worth the doggone in the SEC.
Almost every conference championship would look different.
Exactly.
Besides
right.
the SEC.
Because if you're in the Big Ten West, you get to play Minnesota, which is improving, Iowa, Northwestern, whatever. And if you're in the Big Ten East, you have to play Penn State. Michigan State wasn't very good this year. Michigan, mm-hmm. Ohio State. Like, they have to play each other. So some of that happens, but not nearly enough. My thing is, the conferences are too geographically dissimilar from one division to the other. There is no conference where we would consider the North and the South, the Atlantic and the Coastal, each division equal. There is not one conference where that's the case. Do away with divisions and open up the scheduling. Say each team like basketball. Say each team has two geographic rivals and
sure.
the rest of it is just basically
that way you can still have Auburn, Alabama. You can still have Ohio State, Michigan, whatever. But, and you know, we'll protect some of those rivalries.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I think doing away with divisions is probably the first step.
I also think making sure that every conference plays the same number of conference games is a
big
deal.
That's huge, yes.
I don't like having 9 conference games in the Big 12 and 8 conference games in the Big 12,
What about the requirement that you have to play at least one Power 5 non-conference game so you don't have Washington State rolling around with their ridiculous non-conference schedule?
To me, I think if you play 9 conference games, that goes away.
Okay, well, if you go to 9,
if you go to 9 conference games, that goes away, which is why I give Washington State more of a benefit of the doubt
than another
team from the SEC or ACC that didn't do that with 4
and
games to play with.
It would give more variety to the schedule, right? Because right now, what Clemson fans enjoy is that in the non-conference, you're playing teams you don't normally play. Well, look, you play Virginia every 6 years, so it would add... It would add some nuance to the schedule, some variety
right.
if you added Virginia.
Like
you played Pittsburgh more than once every 6 years, or Miami, or whoever. Yeah.
You could theoretically send 2 kids to college 2 years apart. They could both graduate, and you never play a team from the other
That's
division.
That's in your league.
That's ridiculous. And if those teams that you're playing every year are just never that good, you never get a chance to have a good strength of schedule to boost you in the playoff. Wisconsin never gets a chance to boost its own schedule in the playoff because they don't play Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State in a given year.
The Big 12 is an example of this, right?
Yes.
Some might say West Virginia is a better team than Texas. They did beat them head-to-head, but that's how things are decided. Tiebreakers are important. If West Virginia wanted to play for the Big 12 championship, you can't lose to Oklahoma State, you know?
Right.
And so you got... from what many would say are the 2 best teams, and you get a rematch of a rivalry that everyone loves to watch. What happened in the Big 12 this year is an example of what can happen if you do this, and I think the Big 12 is loving it too, because to Texas OU is a much more fun game than Clemson-Pittsburgh, and Clemson-Syracuse Part 2 would be much more fun than Clemson-Pittsburgh.
So now you have 5 conversations. You don't have conference championship games. You just play them out, your 9 games. Whoever wins, wins. You go tiebreakers, whatever. We're going to know who the best teams are.
Okay.
Just like we know who the best teams are this week. We don't need a neutral site game. Then you just feed those directly into the playoff.
You do an 8-team playoff?
You do an 8-team playoff with no conference championships. It doesn't add any games. It just replaces conference championship weekend.
Exactly.
If a group of 5 is like UCF, you put them in there.
If they're
in
number
top
8, they get
right?
in, yeah.
And then you put 2 wild cards in there. That way for your Georgias or your, you know, Michigans or LSU for some reason or whoever you want to put in there, by all means, go ahead. To me, that's how you fix it. That's a simple change. The problem is you have to make the conferences not about the conferences. You have to make the conferences about the playoff and feeding the system. You have to make the conferences part of the system rather than trying to say the conferences can be about the conferences and the bowls can be about the bowls and the playoff can be about the playoff and act like all that's just going to walk down the street skipping, holding hands.
So
it's not going to happen.
Does this mean that Notre Dame is considered a wild card or they have to join a league?
Notre Dame's got to join a league. You got to join a league. We're doing away with divisions, doing away with conference championship games. Or you say, okay, that's fine, Notre Dame. You don't get a pass. Nobody gets a pass. Nobody can have one fewer data point than somebody else. If you want to get in the playoff, you better have the same number of data points as everybody else in the playoff. You better have 12 if we're playing 12. You better have 13 if we're playing 13. But you're not going to sit at home. You're not going to sit on your rump there with 12 games while everybody else has 13 to
just
get in.
Make Notre Dame schedule an independent every first Saturday of December. Notre Dame, BYU.
Well, to me...
December 1st.
To me, you do away with the 13th data point.
Yeah, well, then
the
they would.
The 13th data point is the semifinal.
They would have 12 data points then. So they wouldn't have to join a league.
Correct.
Okay.
So let's say they don't join a league. They still have 12 data points. Just like everybody has 12 data points. You're not getting in the playoff with one fewer data point than everybody else because you could have injuries in the 12th game. You could get beat in the 12th game. All that stuff. You're putting it on the line a 12th time. There is no such thing as an unequal number of data points in my system.
But if we're saying equal data points, then Notre Dame has to play 9 Power 5 teams of the 12. And did they do that this year? Because they played Navy, State.
We could address that.
I'm not sure who I'm missing. They might have.
We could address that in the selection process. We got to go to break. When we come back, we'll go through the phone. We got 4 callers on hold. We'll get to all of you on the other side, I promise. We're live at Your Pie Clemson. Come by and see us. We'll be back for more in just a moment.
Hello, this is John LaHoop, Executive Director of Clemson Downs. Again this year, the Tigers are on their way to the ACC Championship with a shot at making the national playoffs. Clemson Downs is the only continuing care retirement community in the Clemson area. For more information, visit ClemsonDowns.com or call 654-1155. We'd be delighted to give you and your loved one a tour of our community. Go Tigers!
Looking for delicious and innovative food in downtown Clemson? The Blue Heron Restaurant and Sushi Bar is the answer. Fresh house-cut steaks and seafood and free-range poultry are just a few of the menu items that define the Blue Heron. And specials like Thursday's Burger and a Brew. Any one of our delicious burgers and domestic beer for $10. The finest steaks and fresh seafood at the Blue Heron, College Avenue, Clemson. Visit our website at blueheronfood.com.
Movember is coming up. That's No Shave November. Movember is a movement to bring awareness to men's health, prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and mental health. Rooster's Men's Grooming Center is an avid supporter of Movember. But just because you aren't getting a shave doesn't mean you don't have to slack off on grooming. Look and feel your best while supporting a great cause in Movember. And remember, new customers get their haircut for $5 off. Rooster's, 3935 Pelham Road. Call 884-8920.
Washington has come to its senses by reducing our tax burden. Now we can take advantage to reinvest in ourselves and our businesses to continue our economic growth. I'm George Jeffries with Metal Building Supply Company. It's a great time to start that business dream of yours or perhaps expand or refurbish your existing facilities. Come see us or call us at 864-295-0506. Talk with me or Kevin Brown about how we can help you. And God bless America.
It's the ACC Championship as the Tigers head to Charlotte for a shot at another conference title. Join us this Friday at George Coleman Ford for Football Talk and Papa John's Pizza. Road Rage live on the road Friday. George Coleman Ford, Traveler's Rest.
Zero Res is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroRes, Greenville.com.
Black Friday savings at Reed's Jewelers are going on now through November 30th. Get a 1-carat iconic diamond solitaire, just $19.99. How about a 4-piece blue topaz set? Earrings, pendant, bracelet, and ring, only $249. Save up to $1,000 on everything else in the store through November 30th. And get up to 18 months deferred interest on qualifying purchases. Black Friday savings now through November 30th. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall.
Do you really know Joe? He may not be who you think he is, but he delivers consistent product, great hospitality, great atmosphere, great everything, and of course, great pizza. You see, Joe's New York Pizza, with locations in Seneca and Clemson, doesn't rely on some special gimmick of the month. Joe does great pizza, subs, and fresh salads made with fresh ingredients. That's who Joe is. You know him. He's all about the sauce. Joe's New York Pizza, Patrick Square in Clemson, and Seneca on Highway 123.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-506-2734. 800-506-2734. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take red. 800-506-2734.
Join Mickey, Brad, Ben, Kwok, and Kelly live on location November 29th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. at United Rentals Greenville. There will be something for everyone. Check out ready-to-work equipment during their biggest sale of the year. Hang out with the WCCP crew and enter to win prizes. Don't miss it. The Big Blue Equipment Sale November 29th from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. with the Mickey Plyler Show, the Press Box, and Out of Bounds live on location. 117 Woodruff Industrial Lane in Greenville.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Only thing that can make this day better is ice cream.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones. My heart ain't ready.
Hour two continues. We're live here at Your Pie in Clemson. Come by and see us. We're going to visit with Morgan McCall. She's a sophomore at Clemson, homecoming queen, and she's up for Miss Clemson, and she also happens to have type 1 diabetes. So we're going to talk to her in just a little bit. We're also going to get to all you on the phone, so be patient. We're going to roll three in this segment. I can promise you that. But first, we got to tell you about Lightstream, because the holidays are approaching, and you might be thinking, how are we going to save some extra cash to make sure that we can buy everything that we want to buy in this Christmas season? Well, I got a way that maybe you haven't thought of. You can consolidate your high-interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with Lightstream. They offer credit card consolidation loans from 6.14% APR with AutoPay, the national average credit card interest rate over 19% APR. So this is super, super, super good loan for you. Get a loan $5,000 to $100,000. You can get your money as soon as the day you apply. It's 100% online, no fees whatsoever. Easy to use website. I can tell you this is a problem for folks. Lightstream is the way to go. They believe that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate. Our listeners can save even more with an additional interest rate discount, which is just insane. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OOB. That's lightstream.com/OOB. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offer subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/OOB for more information. And now we're joined by Morgan McCall. What's going on?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. Tell the folks, you're a local from just a little bit down the road. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself.
Yes, I'm from Walhalla. I graduated from Walhalla High School in 2017. I'm now a sophomore at Clemson. I'm a political science student. I just recently won Clemson University's Miss Homecoming, which was a complete surprise to me being a sophomore, because I was competing against all seniors, and it totally just blew my mind whenever I went through that. My first time meeting the president, he was like, you know, sophomores, like, they don't win this. And I was like, yes, thank you for
He's right. Yeah,
just much like Travis Etienne, the ACC Player
that's
of the Year.
That's true, and that, what a way to break
You are the
news.
Travis Etienne of the yes. homecoming court.
That's a
big deal.
That's a great thing to be compared to.
Also, my brother was her calculus teacher.
Yes.
Well, when you meet a Quackenbush, you assume they're related, because, I mean, there's not that
are.
Many of those
We're,
walking
we
around.
We literally all are. There's not a way. So you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when you were 3, and so you've lived a long life with type 1 diabetes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's definitely been an experience having type 1 diabetes. It's something that not a lot of people understand. And so whenever I used to compete in Miss South Carolina, and so that was my platform all through that, was I wanted people to understand what type 1 diabetes was and why fundraising is so important, because we need a cure as soon as we can. And so that's why we do things like fundraisers at Your Pie and do things like make a platform for Miss South Carolina about type 1 diabetes. So I've had it for 16 years. Pretty much, I feel like I've had it my whole life. I mean, I don't remember before I was 3 years old. So I've never really had any, like, bad experiences. I've kept it under pretty good control, definitely. Exercising, eating healthy my whole life has made a huge difference. But there's always struggles dealing with diabetes every day. It's like, it's always something in the back of your mind.
So obviously you've led a pretty normal life, even though you've had diabetes for most of your life. Tell the listeners, if they're not familiar, if they don't know someone with type 1 diabetes, what goes into your daily routine that's a little different than someone who doesn't have type 1 diabetes?
So I guess mostly it would just be like wearing the insulin pump, doing insulin shots in the morning. Like when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is do an insulin shot, not brush my teeth.
Because I'm then brush your teeth.
Yeah, do that after. Just trying to like live throughout that day. And then I might eat a protein bar during class, and I'll get out my insulin pump and like put the number of carbs in there, and just kind of something you think about all day. The best thing is that I have a continuous glucose monitor that notifies me whenever my sugar is low or high, so I don't have to think about it as much now because I have something telling me. Before they came out with this technology, I had to pay a lot more attention to how I was feeling, because I just had to know, like, oh, I feel kind of dizzy, kind of hot, my sugar might be low, or oh, I've been drinking a lot of water lately, like my sugar might be high. But now that I have something telling me, I can see those trends before it gets too high or too low, and that technology has just been amazing.
And you said this is your platform for Miss South Carolina.
Yes.
What's it been like to kind of tell the story of type 1 diabetes and, you know, across the state a little bit?
It's been amazing. I think the biggest thing I've been able to talk about is mostly just understanding the difference between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, because most people just think of diabetes as a whole, but it's almost like two completely different things, because this is an autoimmune disease, so there's nothing I've done to have diabetes, and it's just that it's, you can't change it. Right now there is no cure, so I'm kind of just stuck with it, and so I'm having to deal with this and like manage it the best that I can, and then explaining like how a healthy lifestyle really does like make managing type 1 diabetes so much easier, but it doesn't reverse it.
Very cool. Are you going to Charlotte ACC championship?
No, I'm not. I have a final on Monday, so...
Academics, finals. Number one, Quack. Academics.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you got a back in my day from finals. Yikes. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
McCall, homecoming queen, hopefully Miss South Carolina. We appreciate you coming by and sharing your story of type 1 diabetes.
Thank you so much.
Good luck the rest of the way in the competition. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Let's go to the Northland Communication phone lines now. 654-ROAR is the number. We got some folks on hold. Let's go to Jamie, who's up with us next. Wants to talk a little playoff with us. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, good afternoon, Qual. Good afternoon, Miss Kelly. How you doing?
Doing great, my man.
Good, good. Listen, you guys kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but I've got a couple of questions. If the playoff standings stay the way they are, okay, where would Clemson go play? I mean, because some people are saying that there's no doubt the Orange Bowl is the 1-4 game and the Cotton Bowl is the 2-3 game. Okay, now, the way that I would fix all this, is me, myself, there's two solutions here that we could do. One of them is we could see how the football season was playing out and have built into the football season a flex week where, I don't know, say... when you say, gosh, I sure would love to see Georgia or Alabama or Clemson have to go play this team. So what you would do is you'd schedule that game, and high schools do that all the time, right? With playoff games. You don't know where you're going the next week, but you figure it out through playoffs. Now, number two, which would be a more logical solution, I would have 4 16-team conferences. You in two divisions in each conference. You have 7 division games, and you play 2 non-division opponents, and you could still schedule your other games, and then just let the 4 conference champions play each other.
Well, I mean, I think that would work, Jamie. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. The only thing that I would say there is, and I do think that's a better scenario than the first one that you, and a more realistic scenario than the first one you laid out. It still preserves the inequality of the divisions, where we have very stark contrasts in every conference between the two divisions. I also think that it is clear, I mean abundantly clear, that no conference wants to try to maintain 16 teams in a conference setting. 14 is probably a little bit too many. I really believe, and I still believe this, I believed it before, 12 is the ideal number. 12 is ideal number for
a
league, and I think 14 is the absolute max. Beyond that, you're going to have an overflowing cup.
Well, and again, this is where we come up with the discussion of, should you treat football as a completely different entity, right? Because if you do change these conferences this much, then you're changing it for every single other sport.
Right.
And then you've got an issue.
Well, On the other side, his point about the venues, I believe that the number one seed gets the geographic advantage.
Yes, they get the number one seed. I'm on the collegefootballplayoff.com. It says, when assigning teams to the two sites, the selection committee will place the top two seeds at the most advantageous sites, weighing criteria such as convenience of travel for its fans, home crowd advantage or disadvantage, and general familiarity with the host city and its stadium. Preference will go to the number one seed. So if Alabama's number one, they've been to the Cotton Bowl before. That when Bama was one 2 years ago, they went to the Cotton Bowl. So, or 3 years ago, sorry. So I feel like Bama will, they will choose the Cotton Bowl.
You would
for
think,
Bama, right?
However, would it be more of a disadvantage to face Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl?
Right.
Would you rather have, would it be more
advantageous?
Because
they do say home crowd advantage or disadvantage.
Would it be more advantageous for Alabama to play it in the Orange Bowl if Oklahoma is a number four seed and to put Clemson Notre Dame in Jerry World?
That is super interesting. Jerry World is still much more drivable for your average Alabama fan.
Yes,
right?
It's a much easier
drive,
but it's
literally
also more drivable for Oklahoma fans.
A hop,
fans.
Skip, and a jump for Oklahoma fans.
Yes.
Tons of OU alumni live in Dallas.
And don't they play the Big 12 championship game there
this
weekend?
They
so
do.
They will have been familiar with the venue. They know the travel.
That is super interesting, Quack. I don't know.
I'm not sure what they would do. I'm sure they probably would ask Alabama what they wanted to do. That's
right.
Part of it is that if Oklahoma's a now if Ohio State's a four, you're gonna put it there. If Ohio State's a four, you're gonna put it there.
Correct me if I'm wrong. The last Orange Bowl I went to was an outdoor state. They haven't changed that, have they?
Orange Bowl?
Yeah.
Is outside.
It's still an outdoor stadium.
Yeah.
And Jerry World's indoors.
Yeah.
So if Nick Saban doesn't want to take any chances whatsoever, just wants to play in the indoor stadium.
Perhaps, although I would argue playing a team with the speed of Oklahoma
you
outdoors
might want to play outdoors
better,
and pray a for
idea.
A hurricane.
Yeah. Let's go to Chadwick and Easley, who's up with us next. What's up, Chadwick?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Listen, wanted to ask you. Thank you. I am. Thank you. Wanted to ask a question. Late last night, I saw going across the bottom, T. Martin was let go from Southern Cal yesterday. Just a scenario. What would happen if, say, Tony Elliott took a job at the end of the year? We got Amari over here for, I think, two more years. Would he be a fit to come over here and be our offensive coordinator, T. Martin?
I don't think so, because I believe Brandon Streeter is going to be next in line. We know Dabo likes to promote from
that's
within. He likes to kind of groom folks. I would say that's a more likely scenario there.
That's what I thought the same thing. I said, well, he's right there. Why wouldn't he just step into that role? But I didn't know if maybe he was just, he really liked the quarterback coaching position and just wanted to stay there and really groom. Because I know we got some more, you know, highly rated quarterbacks possibly coming in. So that was my thought as well. But I just wanted to ask the question if T. Martin would be a fit here, because he runs, and correct me if I'm wrong here, because I don't catch too much USC or Southern Cal football. But they run kind of a pro-style offense, right?
Yeah, they definitely do. And I'll say this, too. Tennessee's offensive coordinator spot's looking at possibly being open. I know there was some chatter about maybe the Western Kentucky job. So there are some other dominoes that may fall. I know I think the OC at USC ended up taking that job at Western Kentucky. But I think there are some other spots where T. Martin could land where Dabo wouldn't have to stray from his plan too much. And I think T. Martin will end up being an offensive coordinator or recruiting coordinator on somebody's staff next year.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you guys so much. I just wanted to ask that and kind of get a feel. So I appreciate it.
All right, thanks very much. We appreciate it, Chadwick. Couple of breaking news points. We talked about Travis Etienne winning Player of the Year. What else has come down from the ACC today?
We have announcements for Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, and Defensive Player of the Year. Clemson won all three. We'll just give you a hint. ACC Player of the Year is Travis Etienne, Clemson's running back. ACC Offensive Player of the Year is Travis Etienne. ACC Defensive Player of the Year is Cleland Farrell. So a clean sweep. The guy that got the second most votes for ACC Player of the Year was Christian Wilkins. And he was kind of close. Travis Etienne, 22 votes. Christian Wilkins, 14 votes. Ryan Finley, 8. A.J. Dillon, 4. Eric Dungy, 4. Trevor Lawrence, 3. Cleland Farrell, 2. Quadre Allison, 1. Greg Dortch, 1. And Bryce Perkins, 1. And Cleland Farrell beat out Christian Wilkins for ACC Defensive Player of the Year by just 8 votes.
So the intensity of support for Christian Wilkins was high among his voters.
Well, interesting that Christian Wilkins was you know, he finished higher than Cleveland Farrell for ACC Player of the Year, but didn't finish higher for Defensive Player of the Year. And that's got to be with the two rushing touchdowns. When you add those in and you add how he plays on both sides of the football,
right?
Then obviously he's going to get more votes for ACC Player of the Year. But it's the first clean sweep of Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year by one team since Maryland did it in 01. And I want to cue the questions from young students out there asking, wait, Maryland was in the ACC? I didn't even realize.
Yes.
Yes, they were.
They were.
They were a founding member.
If I remember right, that was Bruce Perry, the running back, Ralph Ridgen, the Coach of the Year. And then I'm not sure the Defensive Player of the Year was that year. It's all the time. I think it was E.J. Henderson.
I think it was, because I was doing research the last time a defensive player won overall ACC Player of the Year, and it was him. It was E.J. Henderson from Maryland.
Yes.
When I was trying to say that Cleveland should be the ACC Player of the Year.
Then we have breaking news out of Atlanta, where according to several reports, according to Bruce Feldman, according to, I think the initial report was Jeff Schultz from the AJC, Paul Johnson is retiring from coaching.
Wow.
Yes. I've heard that this might be coming, that it was something that was being considered there, and that rather than them making a move in terms of firing him, that this may be the way to go. He's 61 years old. He's been coaching for a long time. And so Paul Johnson has retired from coaching. Pete Thamel tweeted moments ago, just spoke to text Paul Johnson. He wouldn't say explicitly he's retiring, said he's talking to his team soon, and they'll be doing a release at 2:30. He did say he plans to coach Tech through the bowl game. Quote, there's nothing finalized. I'm going to talk to the team. Close quote. So
interesting.
Is this a retiring, or is this a was retired scenario?
Interesting. I don't know. I feel like it could be a somewhat mixture of both.
Let's discuss a little bit on the other side.
That's an interesting thing to monitor, because we know as it stands right now, Clemson plays Georgia Tech every year. So who are they going to bring in? Well, are they going to bring in someone to run the option?
No. Well, first of all, we'll talk about it on the other side. Let's talk about it on the other side, because there are several ways that they could go with this, and I think there's one path of least resistance, and there's another path of more resistance that might have basically a lower floor and a higher ceiling long term. We'll discuss. Stay with us. We'll go back to the phones as well. We got William and Brad. You guys hang on. We're going to on the other side. Stay with us. Hour 2 continues live at Your Pie Clemson in just a moment.
Up next, it's Don Munson with your daily Tiger update, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Relax, Clemson students, faculty, staff, and IPTE members. You can join Founders Federal Credit Union with convenient services like the Founders app with mobile deposit, Founders online, and online applications. You can spend less time in our office and more time cheering on your Clemson Tigers. For product information, visit foundersfcu.com. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA and a proud partner of Clemson Athletics.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Congratulations to quarterback Trevor Lawrence, as he was voted ACC Rookie of the Year. He was also voted ACC Offensive Rookie of the Year, as a panel of 60 members voted on the award. A five-time ACC Rookie of the Week, Lawrence threw for 2,488 yards so far this season and 22 touchdowns, which was tied for best in the Atlantic Coast Conference. He's thrown for at least 300 yards on three separate occasions, including 393 yards in the season finale win over South Carolina. That was the most by a Clemson quarterback ever in the 116-game history of that series. Also, congratulations to head coach Dabo Swinney, as Coach Swinney was voted as the Atlantic Coast Conference Coach of the Year, the second time that he has won the award. He was recognized first back in 2015. Swinney, of course, has led the Tigers to their best 8-year span in program history. And, of course, this 2018 season, still not over, but certainly one of the best during that period of time. And our report brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Clemson Tigers. Relax with Founders Federal Credit Union.
Ed Murdoch.
Ed Murdoch.
Ed Murdoch Superstore.
Ed Murdoch.
Ed Murdoch.
Hey, man, Ed Murdoch.
Ed Murdoch.
I'm Matthew Murdoch. That's our name, and we want to know yours. We offer Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ford, whether it be new or used, plus a great service, parts, and body shop right across the Georgia State Line in Livonia, Georgia. Or visit us at EdMurdochSuperstores.com.
Ed Murdoch Superstores.
Ed Murdoch Superstores. That's our name, and we want to know yours. Come see us.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio has the perfect gift for that special someone on your list. The Big Green Egg, delivering amazing results as a grill, a steamer, and even an outdoor oven. Grill burgers, sear steaks at high temps, cook the perfect rack of ribs, even bake a perfect crispy pizza. Kraft Stove Store and Patio has special holiday sale packages on all models of the Big Green Egg. Shop today and save. Kraft Stove Store and Patio, 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard, Taylor.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville is your local lodge, where all sports fans are encouraged to indulge. You can enjoy wild card weekends and World Series walk-offs with a barrel-aged bourbon poured over a handmade ice ball, or one of the new classic bourbon cocktails, like the Manhattan. Or pair an ice-cold 29-degree draft beer with a made-from-scratch menu item that are rumored to be every fan's favorite. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. It's all happening on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
Men, are you tired of those daily blue enhancement pills that take days, weeks, or months to work, if they ever work at all? Listen up. Now you can take Red, the new natural male empowerment pill that works on demand. Even your partner will notice the difference the very first time you use it. To prove Red won't disappoint like the others, you're invited to participate in our nationwide I Take Red Partner Reaction Guarantee Trial. We're seeking participants for this nationwide trial, not only to prove it works the very first time you try it. We guarantee your partner will also notice the difference. Forget those slow-acting blue pills and join those who proudly take Red. Over 50,000 pills have already been claimed and supplies are limited. So to ensure your participation in this free nationwide trial, you must call now.
Superior Virility on Demand. You only need to take Red once to see what all the fuss is about. Call immediately to participate in our free nationwide trial. Call 800-506-2734. 800-506-2734. Be one of thousands to proudly say, I take Red. 800-506-2734.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671, or visit us at cantyfoundationsc.com.
Ah, yes, the holidays are upon us, and with that, the age-old question, what do you get for that special guy in your life? Well, I've got the solution right here. It's Harry's.com. They've got long-lasting quality products they make at a super reasonable price. Blades as low as $2 each. You can engrave it for the holidays, so it makes it personal. And the sets come in a handsome gift box starting at just $10. There's a 100% quality guarantee for your Harry's shave. As a special offer for fans of the show, we partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including our limited edition holiday sets, when you go to Harry's.com and enter code OOB at checkout. Plus, you get free shipping. This is for new and returning customers and only available for the holidays. You get the handle with the engraving option, the five-blade cartridges that provide a close, comfortable shave, the foaming shave gel, the travel cover, and the handsome holiday gift box. If you want something for yourself, you can redeem a Harry's trial offer to experience the quality of shave before committing. Get your holiday shopping done early. Free shipping ends on December 12th, so act now. Go to Harry's.com, enter code OOB to get $5 off any shave set while supplies last.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
May our feet be swift. May our bats be mighty. May our balls be plentiful.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Got a girl from the south side. Got brazen hair.
Hour two continues. We're live at Your Pie in Clemson. Come by and see us. Once again, they've got a big event going on today for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. We'll be saying more about that coming up a little bit later on in hour three. Will Vannevoort joining us in our next segment as well. We'll talk to him maybe about this breaking news with Paul Johnson, but not to stray from the salient point here. $10 or more donated to the cause of trying to prevent and cure type 1 diabetes. You donate $10 or more, you get a national championship Coke bottle today. Your Pie is going to be matching donations. A percentage of the proceeds also going to be donated. This event raised over $2,000 a year ago. We could certainly match and exceed that this year, so come by. There's been a steady flow of traffic throughout lunch. Now is gelato time. This is gelato time, and we both actually made the same choice of gelato. I'm a big fan of this. Kelly, tell us a little bit more about this gelato.
Okay, it is the peppermint bark, which I think I'm missing a few names in there.
It's like white chocolate.
White chocolate peppermint bark. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And Quack, it's just delightful. It's so good, and it's perfect, I think, for the holiday season. It's their seasonal item. They also have vanilla and chocolate and Butterfinger and another fruity flavor over there as well. So they have your choices, but this peppermint bark with some chocolate chips in it is it's just divine. In this current holiday season, as we head into the Christmas season, it is divine ice cream, and you need some. And it's the perfect thing to follow your pizza, because I had that gnat around 12:45. It was delightful. And then I had this gelato, and it was so good. And you're enjoying it, too. You actually
like
it.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's really good.
Generally, you only like vanilla.
It's really good.
If Quack likes it, that means you know it is so good.
That's true. That's true.
It's so good. I don't think they had this last year. This might be a new item. It is. And I would highly recommend the peppermint, the white chocolate peppermint bark.
Five stars. Let's go.
So good.
Let's go to William and George, who's over us next on the phones, before we talk more about Paul Johnson. The breaking news out of Atlanta that may or may not be fully breaking news. We'll discuss in just a little bit. But first, we'll go to William, 654 Roar on the North Communication phone lines. What's up, William?
Hey, Qualk, how are you, man?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
But I could.
She's got her mouth full of gelato, William.
Oh, okay. Well, I just said hello.
I'm but, very good, anyway, William. Thank you.
Swallow first. But anyway, what I was saying is, I agree with you totally about Notre Dame, dude. I've never understood that just they got to win their division and they automatically go to the title game anyway. When everybody else has got, not title game, but playoff, you know. And everybody else has got a monster like Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State to face at the end of the year. I mean, I don't understand that. I mean, maybe you can explain it to me. But
let me address that real quick. The only way I can explain it to you is that Notre Dame gets to do what it wants. So still in this era where we've kind of moved away from Notre Dame being the preeminent, predominant force in the country, there's still a little remnant of that, and that is Notre Dame basically does what it wants with regards to conference affiliation and with this playing 12 games. And because, you know, Ohio State didn't have to play 13 in 2016, Alabama didn't have to play 13 in 2017, so there's a precedent here for the committee basically giving a free pass to some team that doesn't have to play conference championship. So it's not like the committee has set a precedent and is ignoring it this year. Actually now, after this season, when Notre Dame makes it, we will have more years than not where a non-conference championship game participant is in the 4-team playoff, which is just bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is to me, too. But one other thing I want to kind of challenge you and Kelly about. Now, I heard you guys talking about the SEC East and all that earlier, and I agree. Georgia's just, you know, way, way above everybody else. I mean, and their wins are not quality wins because of the, you know, with everything, the way the division is. But you guys, do me a favor. Go to the ACC. Give me one other team other than Clemson that can compete with Georgia. Same thing with the Pac-10, Pac-12, Big Ten, all them guys. Tell me who can compete with Georgia, dude, on a football field.
That
right
can
now,
compete with Georgia? I mean, I think Syracuse is a tough. I think Syracuse could compete with them. I don't think they beat them. I think Syracuse could compete with them. I think about four or five teams in the Big Ten could compete with them, but I think I'd pick Georgia over a lot of those. Look, Georgia's one of the four best teams in the country.
I mean, I try to look at them on a national level because the SEC East is so horrible. You understand what I'm saying? But anyway, have a good day. Go ahead.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Thanks very much, William. We appreciate it. Now, I agree that Georgia is the best team in the SEC East. I 100% agree that the SEC East has been weak in the past. But, on the other hand, look at the Sagarin ratings, okay? Now, we said that there's a clear imbalance. And the SEC this year, there's really not. The two best divisions in the country per Sagarin, SEC West 1, SEC East 2. That goes against the argument that we made earlier that says there's a wide gap in every conference that has divisions. However, there has never been a time in the playoff era where the East has been better than the West. And to that point, I'm not gonna just act like what we said before was wrong, right?
The SEC East is not horrible this year.
It's not horrible this year.
I would say last year was probably one of his worst years, but look at all the coaches that got fired and look at the programs that have improved since bringing in new coaches.
Correct.
The SEC East is a good division this year, and second best is interesting. I might still say the Big Ten East, but if you put it second or third, then that goes to the point. And maybe William missed the first part of the show, but I've been saying this all day.
Right.
That's my point. I think it's very unfair with Georgia. When you look at their resume and what they've done, they are probably one of the four best teams. But because of geography and conferences, they're most likely not going to get in because they're going to lose to Alabama.
Correct.
I'm with you.
We would say most likely. Not giving Georgia a chance, but most likely. To wrap up hour two, before we get to Will Vandenborough at hour three and much more stuff, your initial thoughts on this Paul Johnson thing where everyone's reporting, I say everyone, there's like a handful of people reporting, and Jeff Schultz, who was of the AJC, and I said it was AJC, he's actually with the Athletic Atlanta now. So, like a lot of folks, he's now in
some personal news.
I'm joining the Athletic.
Some professional news.
Right, some professional news.
After 10 years of wonderful work here in Atlanta, I'm joining the Athletic.
Right, exactly right. So he's now
with
the Athletic Atlanta, working with Daniel Shirley and the fine folks there at Athletic. But he reported that Paul Johnson is stepping out, and a bunch of these others saying he's retiring from coaching. Now, the Pete Thamel report that says nothing's finalized yet, we've got a team meeting coming up, maybe he didn't want to confirm it before he told the team. Or maybe there's something more to this. Maybe it's not Paul Johnson's retiring. Maybe he's a little miffed. Maybe this wasn't his first choice. I don't know how to read this yet. I'm interested to see what happens when they make a statement. I don't think there's going to be a news conference today. I think it's just going to be a release.
Interesting.
So I think that's also a little bit telling, right?
It is, and I don't know. I don't know if Paul Johnson wanted to retire or he's being forced to retire, and they're going to call it a retirement to be respectful to him, and I think that's probably a good way to do it. But if this is true, then this is fascinating because this pertains to Clemson every year with what Georgia Tech does and who they bring in, and if they continue to try to do the option, if they try to change it up. What I would do is, like you said, if you go away from the option when you hire this next coach, then of course you're going to take your lumps for two or three years.
Right.
It's going to be rough. But in the long run, it would be worth it. I would hire someone, maybe not completely drastically different, like a Cliff Kingsbury, but I would hire someone who lives in the 21st century.
All right, now, this name has come up on Twitter. I think it would be an interesting fit. Scott Satterfield of App State was totally passed over by North Carolina.
That would be interesting.
This could be another cash situation, though, where you may not be able to afford a sitting head coach from a successful group of five, because App State has got a chance to win a third straight Sun Belt title.
And would he want to give that up and go somewhere where he knows he really can't win for at least a couple years?
His offense has a lot of option principles in it. They've got mobile quarterbacks that can throw it some. They run a little bit of a spread option. His defensive coordinator is already there from last year. He's there from a year ago. That would be an interesting fit. Another name that's being brought up is Tony Elliott. Now, here's where I'll say. If you're an option-oriented coach, okay, you can win you could probably win six games there the next two or three years while you're getting used to the personnel. If you're an option-oriented coach, okay, the reality is, besides maybe Louisville and maybe even including Louisville, this is the worst roster in the ACC. This is a bottom five roster in FBS. And no pro scouts going to Georgia Tech games to watch Georgia Tech players. They have none. They have little bitty, teeny tiny guys who get hurt all the time because they can't play at the Power 5 level. They can't play big boy football. They just can't. So whoever goes there, if you're not running some semblance of option football, you're going to get destroyed. It'll be 2-10 for two or three years is what it is.
Would you say their lines of scrimmage are decent enough?
No.
The O-line?
Oh, their O-line is dreadful. Have you seen them pass block? If you do anything but option, they will get destroyed.
They don't have to pass block. They don't know how to pass block. But, yeah,
right.
I'm just saying, I feel like the defensive line, no. The defensive line, no. But I think the O-line, I think the O-line is not atrocious.
I think the O-line, if you put anything but option football in there,
okay,
is an
obviously it would be a big adjustment
atrocity.
For everything.
Yes.
Everything
absolute
you
atrocity.
Do. Except for maybe running the ball.
If you run the option, you can win six games. I think you can keep going to bowls. But right now, if you go outside of that, you're looking at a dramatic uphill rebuild. And so that might impact your candidates. Hour three coming up next. Stay with us.